You're listening to Go Folk Yourself, an American podcast. Just so you know, there's some strong language and some very disturbing descriptions present inside of this podcast. And normally, we would tell you to get your children out of the room or maybe stop listening to it while they're in the car. But really, those kids need to learn about life and they need to figure out that the world's a terrible place and there are terrible people in it. So we encourage you to keep the podcast on while these terrible people teach your children things they didn't know before.
And welcome to another episode of Deep Folking. Particularly, this is going to be a folk debate.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, folk debate.
I thought we were here to talk about how we all love Ready Player One.
Yeah.
That's how you sold
me. That's what you thought, but I have a special guest behind this door. Please, come on in. That's a slow walk you got there.
I'm sorry. The sound effect. Let's pull back. We're doing Ready Player One?
We are doing Ready
Player
One.
Yeah, we're talking about all we... Oh.
Yeah, talking about how good it is.
You brought me here to talk about fucking vampires, and you were talking about Ready Player One?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because we all loved it. Yep. That's what I thought. Right? This
Did
was
we?
A fan club.
It. Did we?
Did we?
Wait.
I can't...
I liked it.
I don't know... Shut up. I don't know if I can do this,
this
right now.
This got really simple.
I don't have the psychic energy to talk to you fuckers about this book.
Oh, but you believe in psychic energies.
Yes, that's to clarify, cool. We're talking about the hit book.
You know, it's really
not
more
the movie.
Of a
I haven't
phrase.
Seen the movie.
I haven't seen the movie.
Seen the movie.
Hold on. Let me establish the rules of this.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. So there will be two sides to this debate. This is much like the Last Jedi debate.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
did you guys do a Last Jedi debate?
Victor decided that would be a good idea, and then he lost.
I wanted to talk about it, and then it just turned into a George Lucas off, and it just got real dark.
I won.
What was the final verdict?
That I won. And
there
wasn't.
It was just two George Lucases yelling at each other.
Yeah,
about
but Brett's George Lucas was terrible, and his opinion was wrong.
It had its problems.
It had its problems, but shut up.
Again, yeah.
Here's
the book.
Here's the rules. We're gonna have a quick discussion about whether Ready Player One is a good property. That's it. It's just about is it a good property, whether that be as a film,
okay.
a book, or whatever it is. On one side of the debate, we've got Victor and Ethan.
Hello.
Who are on the side of, we like Ready Player One.
We like to yeah.
It's a perfectly fine book.
And then you've got on the other side, Dan and Dan, who think doesn't need to happen, and we could do without it.
Ready Player One is a good property, much in the same way that the Führer Bunker was a good property in 1945.
Damn.
That's a deep cut.
Man, that was a heavy shot right out of the gate.
So. Yeah. Ooh, Ready Player One is like a concentration camp. Okay.
All right. I was going to go with
Yeah, 44 would have made
I was
sense.
A year off on the
summer
day,
blockbuster
apologies.
That you just watch and you don't really think about or question. You're just like, hey, that was fun to look at or read or hear.
No, but that's the problem because it's a book and a series that wants you to think about it.
Right. Yeah.
Does it?
It was such a good book that you couldn't stand to sit idly by whilst it was in theaters on the big screen for you to finally make real.
So I made it real when I read it.
Yeah.
This might be another debate. I don't need movies to make it real.
Pictures are in right in here.
I got also, my movie right in my
Victor,
noggin.
Play some Rush.
Because you don't have the license for that. It's very expensive.
No, it's okay.
Especially after the movie.
You don't need to play Rush. You can read Ready Player One, where the main character,
or
Ray
you
Watts.
Can listen in on Audible with Will Wheaton reading it to you.
Will Wheaton. I actually listened and read.
Same. I did. I read it
I
and listened to it on road trip.
So wait, you gave them money twice for this.
I gave
them free Audible credits.
Another quick thing. The public library has it.
Fair.
You fucks.
Yeah.
I don't buy books.
Okay.
I already bought it with my taxes.
We lost on that one.
That's our fault.
That's our bad.
You're right.
Thank you.
I am hateful inside still to this moment that any of the $16 I paid for this pile of shit went to Ernest Cline.
That is too much for that book.
So,
that is
DK, a lot. You read the entire book.
So let me explain.
Yeah, explain.
Okay, so I got about 40 pages in, at which point I started to tie the noose to hang over the rafter.
and right, Dad was here on the wall.
And I stopped.
Sorry.
I stopped and came into work, and I was like, wow, what a pile of shit this is. I'm going to stop. And people are like, oh, that book, I really enjoyed it. I had to know. I had to truly understand.
Sure.
So for the first time in my life, I hate read a book.
Yeah.
I just sat there and read it line by line.
You know this is like a real dark version of the Grinch, where it's like, look at them, and I pretended to enjoy Christmas so that I could hate fucking.
How How dare they enjoy this perfectly fine book?
No, but that's the problem, is it's not fine.
It is a bad book. It is a bad book in several different ways. It is a bad book from the stilted, horrific writing that is only masked by the air freshener applied to your anus that is the 80s references in this novel. It
that is cooling,
which
aren't all 80s, which I learned from that podcast you recommended to
Thank you. Yeah, we'll talk about that podcast at the end because it's worth your time in addition to this podcast, but mostly you should listen to this podcast. It is a garbage story itself. Like, really? While I was reading it, I had this thought of like, oh, maybe a fun project would be rewriting Ready Player One to be a good book. But no, it is rotten down to its fucking core.
Oh, fuck. You hate this book way more than I like this book.
We're never coming out of this either.
And it is a bad book as well, in the sense that the characters are reprehensible. The things they do are disturbing and awful, and no lessons are learned in any part of this novel.
And it's racist.
I will stress to call it a novel.
I will argue with that because this is what I got from it, and spoilers were going to the end and everything.
I want to hear what life lessons you drew from this fucking piece of shit.
So here's what I got from it. Our generation will never have its own identity because we constantly look back, right? We constantly look in nostalgia filters.
It's called
Let me finish the book. In this book, everyone basically because of one billionaire goes back to 80s culture, and they stick into 80s culture because of whatever you get the internet, basically. You win the internet if you win this game because this guy was obsessed with the 80s.
Yeah.
So this culture develops that, becomes totally obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. Is it well written? No. Is it like the next Harry Potter? No, I will agree with you wholeheartedly. It's full of just like, here's Steven Spielberg reference. Here's this reference. Yeah. Here's that. Reading it, though, I had a lot of fun. The end I liked because you're right. No one learns anything because all of it's meaningless because it all happens online. And what does he do at the end? He fucking leaves it and shuts it all off.
That was the lesson.
The lesson is basically whatever forum you're on, whatever Reddit page you're constantly obsessing over, stop, turn your shit off. Go outside and talk to the pretty person across the street.
Yeah, I dig it.
Dan, you have a face that I've only seen when the most hated people you know have approached you and begun talking to you. Please, I want to know.
Victor, every generation has its nostalgia point. Every single one has a nostalgia for something. That's why in the 80s, you had this influx of 50s diners.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything was about the 50s. It happens. It's kind of like why millennials are obsessed with the 90s right now. Because they're like, oh, yeah, wouldn't it have been cool? Hyper colors. That's great. So what this book did was it took his nostalgia point.
His. Ernest fucking Klein.
Okay. And said, this is the world's nostalgia point. But then he didn't do it well. But I need to read something. Hold on.
Yes, you do need to read from the back of that because the entire front and back cover is a travesty of man.
I want to say one specific thing.
Travesty of man.
I just read the Ernest Klein bio at the bottom. Not once does he call himself a writer. So Ernest Klein is a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's first. Screenwriter, spoken word artist, and full-time geek. He didn't say writer.
Yeah.
So he has no aspirations to be an author.
He wants to be a screenwriter. You can clearly see from this book and every atrocious process that he wanted to be a movie. That's all he ever cared about.
Sure.
Yeah. It's in his fucking acknowledgments that he recognized it was going to be a film.
What did you guys want from this? Because
I
did
book.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my whole thing with this.
That being a story.
To be fair.
Characters who I liked. Tension. Tension would have been amazing.
Okay.
Do you want me to? Please, because I'm the silent partner.
All right, we're arguing quality. We're not arguing quantity. There is a protagonist. There is an antagonist. Uh-huh. There is a plot. There is a catalyst. He goes through a hero's journey.
There are generic checkboxes.
He gets so mad when I say that. I'm like, I've said
you guys
before,
get
it's
so
a hero's
mad.
Journey.
He doesn't go through a hero's journey.
No.
Let's get to the end.
Do we know what a hero's journey is?
Like, can we define it?
We know what a hero's journey is. What was his moment in the cave?
His moment in the cave was at the end when he shaved his head.
Yeah,
when he doesn't go outside anymore. Where he had it figured out already
and was like, I know how to do it.
No, he goes into debt under the company and he gets plugged in as one of them.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he sacrifices
himself
for his
friends. Because
it was part
of his plan that he already had. He already had the sword that he was supposed to get in the cave.
Argue the same thing with
Don't
the
heroes
Matrix.
Journey me.
And you will not talk to me about tension regarding that fucking scene where he's in the IOI caverns or whatever it is, where one, he goes in saying like, oh, I could be stuck forever here. But he has all the passcodes. He already had a system in place to give him the money to get him out. Because he ham-fistedly told you
at the end of that.
We're arguing quality. You're giving him solutions. He can be a dumb protagonist.
And he is. He's not only a dumb protagonist.
So he could get out of that cave, but he didn't. So,
all right, can we talk about the sexism and racism in the book?
Oh, let's get into that. Yeah, absolutely. That's
sure. I bet there's plenty in there. Yeah, why not?
There's a ton. Please, Dan K.
Wouldn't you also say that is a representation of our gaming community and our internet community?
Because no, because I don't think Ernest Cline thought that far ahead.
These are the characters that you're supposed to like, right? So your argument is that
I like the two Asian guys. Is that
okay?
What we're
so the two Asian guys are obviously our starting point.
Okay,
they walk in the room and the music goes.
Dan K, didn't you once tell me that Temple of Doom is your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
No, I don't believe I said that. I did tell you that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is a great Indiana Jones movie.
Isn't it not full of insane racism, sexism throughout that whole fucking movie?
Sexism, yes,
sure.
Racism. Are you kidding me?
Short round?
Yeah. Short round's pretty bad.
That racist little kid?
Absolutely.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. That's not racist?
Yes. They may have a point here. Yeah, however,
the whole movie is just saying 80s Asian catchphrases.
Yeah, it's just him going, where's the chapstick?
Dr. Jones.
You're right. Because people can't have fucking accents. At least it's an Asian
actor.
It
was not an accurate accent. Fuck you.
They have a small ledge to stand on.
Sure.
You know how racist it was? The guy in Karate Kid that makes fun and does an Asian accent, it sounds like that for 2 hours. Where he's like, make me round out.
Hold on. We're not going to Temple of Doom.
We're just saying. But do you not enjoy that movie?
I do because they wrapped some of that. Admittedly, their racism.
Probably like, 4 years old? And that movie is in the 80s.
Yeah.
Fair. 2011.
Remember, Breakfast at Tiffany's came out. I can't even remember
2011?
What year. It's as Asian racist as it gets. And that was a while ago. And it's still
because
considered a classic.
Both of those movies with its abhorrent
Real
racism
quick,
in it.
Is it all just clipping, by the way? Because we're just screaming at each other.
Is sound wrapped check. In an actual movie. Or an actual story, or tension, or excitement.
Once again, there is a story.
So here's the thing I will quit.
You're arguing that there's
Ethan,
no story in there.
Ethan,
is.
You tell me this, if this is accurate.
Go ahead.
Me and Ethan go and get a McFlurry.
Yeah.
Is a McFlurry in a trip? No. Is it good for me? No. Is it the best ice cream? No. Did I enjoy it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But is it great ice cream? No.
Okay.
Is it barely edible? No. Probably
it's
not.
Totally fine.
It's probably fine out 20. So
yeah, but what if
enjoy
they replace
an afternoon? But what you do is you're like, no, fuck you. That is an abomination. Oreos are separate, and ice cream is separate, and that ice cream is bullshit.
No, this is, again, your reductionist argument that says, I don't like this book because I don't like peanut butter and fish together.
You don't? It's peanut butter and chocolate. No, I am just stating that we read something, casually liked it, and walked away from it.
I was okay with
4 years
ago.
What
Dan and I are trying to explain to you is that you did not have a McFlurry with M&Ms in it. Yeah. You had a McFlurry with whatever they pulled off of the floor behind the counter.
You're still that pita guy that just like, you know what's in that cheeseburger?
No.
You know what's in that shit? No. It's fucking pig feet and fucking animals that they torture. And you're like, dude, I just want a dollar cheeseburger.
I love bologna. Okay? I am not
opposed to
you're
not getting my analogy, though. You're looking so deep into what is very
into
shallow.
Into a book! I'm looking deep into a book that's supposed to
Why
have meaning
have
and characters.
There's so many books that are just like short reads or short
then
stories.
Then they shouldn't be good. They shouldn't be considered one of the best
books. I think
books.
You both I'm are sorry. Mad at how big the property
this,
is.
No,
and
this
how
is exactly what
that's
I'm mad
That's what
at,
it is.
And I'd like to dive into this for a second.
That. Yeah.
So what angers me most about this book, more than the terrible plot.
That you're associated with it in any way, the things you love.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It is the fact that people that I have liked and trusted have approached me and said, hey, you would love this book. And what the fuck does that say about me?
No.
You like 80s shit?
You seem vapid and useless. You might also enjoy this dribble.
To be fair, it's the same thing happens when, and Ethan, you can relate as a musician, right? Yeah. oh, like your relatives have know nothing about music, or you're like, hey, there's a jazz club that's right around the corner. We should go because you're a musician. You'll love that, right?
The Skinner cover band. I don't get upset. You want to go?
You know how many shitty like guitar calendars I got? I play fucking bass.
Yes.
And I still smile and take it, but I don't get upset at the person for associating me with that.
I think this might be a good opportunity to look at some of the blurbs in this book.
Please.
Critics who have said a little bit about Ready Player One and what the book means. Sure, and I want to see if you two, having read this,
if I book, agree with the blurbs.
Agree with this.
Listen. Because we had listened to it.
A rollicking, surprise-laden, pot-boiling, thrilling adventure story.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Willy Wonka meets the Matrix. Whatever
that
tagline is on the end there.
I rollicked my ass off reading this book.
Enchanting.
Enchanting. There was that one scene, pretty enchanting.
The part with the Millennium Falcon, or not the Millennium Falcon.
It was the part with all the 80s
the
DeLorean, shit.
Yeah. I will say the final battle scene, I loved Mechagodzilla versus fucking the Gundam.
I liked
it. Love that shit.
I also enjoyed reading several pages of a kid knocking his action figures together in front of me.
It was great.
It was thrilling.
It's what I used to do in the bathtub. It was great.
Where there was, tension, no chance of failure.
I used to have Hulk Hogan fighting Goku. It was great.
Okay.
Your whole thing of failure, though, I think you need to let go because that's every goddamn movie.
Wait, what do you mean?
The whole thing, there's no real... there's no real danger in this or that aspect of it. That's
no,
in every
that's
movie.
Tension. A
that's
good tension. Story has tension.
No, Ernest Cline is amazing. He is amazing in that he has taken every he has taken every creative writing class he ever said and went, you're wrong.
Closing statements, I like ice cream and cake and both those things. I do not dwell on where they came from.
We are not done here. Absolutely not. No, I need you to disagree or agree with this statement.
Okay.
Best science fiction novel I've read in a decade. I loved every sentence.
Well,
the
of
best
course,
science fiction novel in a decade.
Of course, I don't agree with that. No. I'm not an idiot. Of course, that's a
agree
stupid
with that.
Goddamn blurb.
Yeah, that's a stupid blurb.
Well, interestingly, because this has been named one of the best books of 2011 by Entertainment Weekly, San Francisco.
Oh, Computer.
Also New York
Entertainment
Times.
Weekly,
Chicago Sun Times.
IO9.com
and the Onion's AV
You're
Club.
You're mad at old media trying to understand a generation it doesn't, and that's fair.
Yeah.
Because they are
you're not
that's,
entirely wrong.
You're absolutely because the same thing happened with Indiana Jones 4. Everyone's like,
you
it's 5 out of 10. It's or 5 out of 5. Sorry, it got amazing reviews. Go back to 2008.
Yeah.
It got amazing stellar reviews. Like it was the second coming of Christ.
Shia LaBeouf
is
a treasure.
Yes, literally.
I
was
remember
a quote
that. Yeah, I remember
everywhere.
That quote.
Yes, but then the collective conscious of everybody was just like, no. No, this isn't right.
And that
Whereas
happened
with
this
book. The critics
look
all
at,
said
no,
it.
No, before this podcast, I look reviews. Everything you guys point out, the racism, the sexism, is huge. And it's because we've evolved so much and people are pissed because this is now a cornerstone of quote-unquote nerd culture. Mm-hmm. And that's expanded so much now.
I think that's
and
my big problem. Is,
that's
man,
problem, right?
I hate what geek culture has become.
Right.
It's like pot culture.
I'll give you that.
Like how fucking degenerate and useless
everything
and
we all loved and got picked, mm-hmm. I mean, made fun of or whatever, be like, nerd, is now a move. Like my parents asked me, what movies do I need to see? The Avengers? Do I need to see that one and that? And I'm like... ugh, I hate this.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of really fucking hate this.
I will literally never forget in elementary school my bully literally taking my Spider-Man comics out of my backpack and throwing them in a puddle. Right? Like, because that's what it was.
And now there's, three fucking trilogies of that movie?
Right? Like, and now it's at a point where everyone's just like, oh, fucking Spider-Man? Cool, bro.
Right. I've always loved Spider-Man.
And so this book is an ultimate insult to me, not because I'm entrenched in 80s culture. Right. I could give two shits less about Rush. I don't care about all the old arcade games.
How dare you?
Don't care. But people look at this and go, oh, you're a geek, right?
You'll like it.
You'll fucking
love
this, right? It's like that thing. That is fair. I agree with both of you on that.
Those are,
I absolutely agree with both
of you. Wait, 10K's got
what are you about to explode
with? Something through this book and just remember.
You need to just burn that book.
Six pages.
Donate it.
Six pages.
Of Rush lyrics?
Of Wade, Parzival and Artemis having
great
this
characters.
Like shitty chat conference. It's a chat log in the middle of a novel written in 2011.
Because isn't that clever? It's the thing you would see online, but it's in a book. It would be non-traditional writing, and it's in a book.
It's quite leet.
It's pretty ahead of its time.
I will
say it's cutting edge.
Is this book classified young adult?
Yes, 100%.
There's her issue.
Young adults are dumb.
Parzival.
Young, okay. You've seen young
adults.
We
are also in our 30s.
We're
going to
do
like
a short reading here because I need to make them
understand.
Okay,
go ahead, Denke.
Yeah.
Parzival. Okay. What's your favorite movie of all time? Artemis. It changes. Right now, probably Highlander. Artemis.
Classic Highlander.
Or sorry, Parzival. You've got great taste, lady. Artemis. I know. I have a thing for evil, bald, bad guys. The Kurgan is too sexy. Parzival. I'm going to shave my head right now and start wearing leather. Artemis. Send photos. Listen, I got to go in a few minutes, Romeo. The printed page cannot contain the passion that is Ready Player One.
From Paul to Corinthians 3:16.
Yeah. I will say, I think ultimately I read this book over a weekend.
Same.
And I moved on. And I don't ever want to read it again.
Guys, this podcast brought to you by Ready Player One, coming to DVD and Blu-ray July 24th, 2018.
Directed by
Steven. Get it digitally and get into the Oasis.
We haven't gotten into the four paragraphs describing his blue gun.